bet I can make it work. Extract audio times two, but let's just in case, let's clap in. One. We got to clap in. How are we supposed to sync it up if we don't clap in?
Three.
Not too hard.
Three, two, one.
That's pretty good.
That was still pretty loud, too.
Let's do one.
Three, two, one.
All right. Well, you know, we don't have to do that, though. Right?
Yeah.
This is the second time I said that.
Yeah.
Okay.
This and is I fell for it both
that's
times.
That's at least a TikTok blip, if nothing else.
Yeah.
All right. Those are some ugly handlebars. That guy had a small wiener. Okay. You want to just start over?
No.
Okay. We're out. Hi, I'm Andrew.
I'm Matt.
This is Matt and Andrew Make a Podcast. So we pretty much have decided we suck so bad at podcasting that we're just going to only do car casts, most likely, or hotel ones, because that's where we seem to have time.
Yeah.
And that keeps me from masturbating.
It does seem, which I feel like is a good thing, because that means that we're both staying busy.
Yeah, no, we're both busy, which is crazy, because I only have one job at this, and you just have this. You just do this more than I do. I'm trying to catch up.
Yeah. It is wild that I know people who work two jobs and pursue comedy, and they seem to have all the free time in the world. Like,
Wayne,
I don't
Wayne
know what they're doing.
Six comedy specials a day.
Yeah.
And still has a whole ass job.
Yeah.
That he gets it done.
It's wild.
I don't know how. That fence is blue. I wouldn't recommend that. Okay, so we're headed to El Reno.
Nope, we're heading to
Elk City.
Elk City, Oklahoma.
I can't do it.
Parties on Purpose. It's going to be a great show.
Cool venue name. It took me a second. I was like, do people have parties on accident? All right. Anyway.
I've gotten drunk on accident. So it's kind of like party on
accident. I accidentally drank alcohol. We could talk about that for a minute.
You did.
One time I accidentally drank alcohol.
Been hammered ever since.
I was hammered that was probably almost 3 months ago. I'm still a little tipsy.
Was it a full drink?
No.
Like a sip?
Not even a sip.
Not even
like,
a sip.
I wouldn't even call it a whole sip. I would say it's like enough to get my tongue wet and go, that's just watery, and I don't trust that Brandy is correct on this because this smells weird.
And it was, what was like a strawberry daiquiri or something like that?
It was Sex on the Beach, and I had hibiscus water because I'm gay.
Yeah.
And she had a Sex on the Beach, and she didn't know which one was which, but she thought she did. And then I was looking, and I was like, I feel like this is the
hibiscus water,
it's purple.
It's purple.
Mm-hmm.
Sex on the Beach is orange.
Orangish, pinkish.
Yeah.
So I was like, this doesn't seem right, but she said that. And I went, and as I was getting the sip, a little bit hit my lips and I was like, tastes like water. That's probably good because I think this is alcohol. I was realizing as I did it, not because of the smell or the taste, but because what was happening. I was like, the color's the same as that lady's and that lady's definitely drinking.
Right.
And so technically I had 1/18 of a sip, I believe.
Yeah. 1/18 of a sip.
Andy Moon. We're going to clear our throats a lot of this.
So you have not eaten. Yeah. Allergies are murderous right now.
I drank a Throat Comfort tea before we left because they have like a lot of stuff I drink is like milkier drinks, like coffee with like a latte, you know, makes me all flimmy.
Yeah.
And that one kind of helps. And it didn't help today. And I ate a bunch of Doritos that was my lunch. This way?
Well, we got to go to that stop sign and then take a right.
I was like, how do you do that?
It's a double. I get a stop.
Is he gonna stop? Okay.
He's supposed to.
I don't like these Oklahoma roads, dude.
It's a weird intersection.
Who
now
came
we, now
up
we take
with
a
this?
Right.
You just live between the weirdest intersections in the whole county.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't have to talk about alcohol. We can't.
Okay.
But today I went to the chiropractor.
Okay.
I was waiting for a few minutes and
you did look taller when you got
He makes you taller. He stretches you out. He'll pull your wiener too if you want to. Not my chiropractor. That would be illegal, and he's a good man. Tell him the duck flies at midnight, and I'll get you. Okay, anyway. If you tell
what
him
great
that,
code.
If you tell him that, it'll happen. So I got done telling him that the duck flies at midnight. No, I was in the waiting room, and there's this lady coming out with her daughter, and they're talking about how she got a note from the chiropractor saying she can't work. And she's like, oh, yeah, they're just going to have to believe me because it's real bad, and I'll go into work if he makes me, and I'll limp in there. I just hope I don't get fired. She's like going on about how her boss is trying to make her work with an injured back.
Yeah.
And she's having the best day of her life. And she doesn't look like she's in pain. And she's clearly fake limping. And she's holding her hand in a way that there's certain back injuries you might be able to. But if my back hurts, I can't move that way without hurting worse.
Right.
She's holding her hand back here like this, all twisted around to put pressure on her back. And then she just kind of relaxed it. And it was just, you could just tell, like, she's just trying to get out of work.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Just maybe don't go to that extent. And then I heard her mom talking to our chiropractor. We share a guy. He's a nice man. About the best attorney in town. And she's like, well, we already contacted Zelps. You know Zelps.
Mm-hmm.
Zelps is a bad mamma jamma.
Yep.
So they already have been talking to an attorney about suing for whatever this really minor injury was. And I think they're just trying to document the injury for a lawsuit. But she looked so happy. Like, she was like, I got it. If you got a phone call that Joe Rogan was like, hey, I heard what y'all are doing out in Oklahoma and I want you to come on and talk to me. The same exact face you would have is what she has. Like, this is my break.
I've made it.
She's made it.
My life is going to change now.
That's the American economy right now, is you just go, yeah, all I got to do is be hurt.
It's a nice fence.
Is it?
No, it was just posts. There was no fence.
I didn't know if maybe I didn't understand how it worked.
Yeah, it's...
Like, dude, we got
those, all those cows have collars on.
Those are bulls. They have wieners.
2024, I don't think that you should judge.
Dude, I'm definitely assuming if I can't milk it with two hands separately,
yeah,
that's a bull.
Yeah. If it's only got one udder.
Yeah. Do bulls have the thing like a dog where it's like it's in and then when it's ready it sticks out?
Yes.
Okay, because I've never seen a bull one out. I've seen a donkey one out.
Yeah.
Seen a horse one damn near on the ground.
They're proud.
That's impressive.
They'll smack their belly with it.
Yeah, but it's like you're walking around dragging it in dust. What if you got a little, you know, residue with a tip?
They're built different.
Okay.
They're built different. I don't know that if we dragged our dicks in the dirt, our body wouldn't cleanse itself the same way. But yeah, they get dirt on their dick and survive.
And then it goes back up in them.
Yeah.
It's a retractable wee-wee.
Well, I mean, it's basically they're not circumcised.
This is a little different than a circumcision. I'm not circumcised. They're like, it's like they're circumcised. And
you're not
like
circumcised?
No, I am circumcised. My bad.
There you go.
I don't have a foreskin. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
What I'm saying about the horse wiener is the horse can uncircumcise and recircumcise himself. He can put it back in the pocket.
Yeah.
He can bring the turtleneck over the head.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
He can put the lipstick out.
He can put the pillowcase on the pillow.
Yeah.
Let's see how many things we can do. Yeah. He can put the zip. Ah, shit. He can put the sleeping bag on the kid.
He can put the sword back in the sheath.
He can holster his pistol.
He can put the worm in the ground.
He's got a pocket protector and he's going to use it for his pen. I'm going to get the camera a lot.
He would need
Oh, is that a cop? Do I have to go slow? What's the speed limit? You're not 85.
You do whatever you want.
But what's the speed limit?
I think 65.
Not 85.
No, it's not 85. Oh,
come on, Charles.
Well, it's a county.
Oh, is he going to get us?
No.
Oh, okay.
Dude, you county cops, you have to do something wild for them to come pull you over.
Oh, I tattooed a guy that used to be a tribal cop, then he became LPD, and then he became a county cop. Or am I at that backwards? But he did say that. He was like, dude, we don't want to write you a ticket. Like, we don't care.
Yeah.
We're just out cruising around, serving.
Yeah, county cops are serving warrants, doing drug busts. And
occasionally they'll do, like, the DUI checkpoint thing on the highway.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. And shaking hands.
One of these, yeah.
Like, every sheriff's deputy in our county, I think, is running for office. Because that's how they
act. Out.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
They're just out shaking hands. Either they're shaking babies and kissing hands.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened to me, actually. I think there was a politician who got it backwards.
Fuck.
And he was trying to kiss me, but he shook me instead.
Yeah. Well.
What was I talking about? I forget a lot of things.
Yeah.
Have you seen Finding Dory? It's about Nemo's friend, Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah.
Anyway, and at the chiropractor, I'm getting my crack-a-lac on, which, by the way, I still don't know if I believe it's even 10% as beneficial as they say. I think it's helpful, but I don't
chiropractor?
Think... Yeah, I don't...
Bro, have I told you my perfect day?
No.
My perfect day...
Chiropractor massage is involved, though?
Yes. My perfect day would be getting up, going to a chiropractor first thing in the morning, mm-hmm. and, you know, then doing whatever else you do during the day, and then getting a massage right before the end of your day.
Yeah, chiropractor. I would do this. I would go massage to get loose. Chiropractor. Whatever I want to do involving cannabis, for sure. And then massage right before bed, watch one episode of some kind of TV show that I really like Ozark, and then have somebody else do what I would do if I was home alone for myself, you know, have somebody else just, so I don't have to do any work. They could use their mouth or their hand or their vagina. I'm not doing anything. By somebody else, I would hope it's my wife, but we have discussed that it could be, if we go to Thailand, like a 19-year-old
lady boy.
Lady boy is what they call them, yeah. And they can apparently do it. They're apparently really pretty. I don't believe it, because I've seen Thai ladies, and they're not.
I wouldn't turn one down.
A lady boy?
No.
Oh.
I wouldn't turn one down, but I would not request a hand job from anybody.
Same, except if I'm high on edibles and somebody else can do my work for me.
Well, also, I'll take this back too. And this is not your wife, but somebody like your wife that has like grip and is good with her hands. You know what I mean?
Like, I hate her job now. She's like, Mom, your wife's real grippy. Shut the fuck up.
Well, but you know, like somebody who like
a stout lady,
somebody with some strong hands.
She'll make you fucking pop. I'm gonna ask her to squeeze it as hard as she can next time.
I don't think you can hurt it that way.
I don't think so either. She's blown away by the things I do to it, just to show her it's like
bulletproof. Now the testicles,
yeah. Oh no,
completely different.
But like you can flick it, you can like smack it around, you can punch it.
Yeah, I have squeezed my dick as hard as I could.
And then the tip will grow, and then it stops because it, like, you cut off all the blood. You squeeze a little bit to it, like it's kind of like you're getting the last of the toothpaste out, and you just keep it up there.
Without rolling it.
Oh, you don't roll it? All right. The other thing at the chiropractor, he's cracking me around, which, by the way, great. It feels good. I don't care if it's that beneficial. I'm not fully convinced it does all the magic people think it does.
Yeah.
I do think it's a good idea if you have lower back problems or any neck problems or whatever. It's not a bad idea.
I need it for my hips as much as I need it for my back. And my hips are way out. I think hips,
it actually seems like it helps more than anything. But we're getting off topic.
Sorry, go ahead. He's cracking you around.
And then he told me about that guy who texted you, Nate something.
Yep.
Oh, Jackson. God, here we go. Kiowa Tribe just passed us in a Stinger, which is a really cool name for a fucking Kia.
Is that who makes it?
I think so. It's either that or Hyundai. Yeah, so he was talking about going to a comedy show, and he was like, yeah, so I went and saw this guy. He didn't specify comedy. He just knows I like comedy, so he just started telling me. He was like, yeah, have you heard of Nate
Jackson?
And I was like, I actually haven't. I looked him up. He's a big enough name, I'm not shocked that he's at the Criterion. But the Criterion, I don't know, what is it, like 4,000 seats or something?
Is it that big?
It's pretty big, maybe 3,500. We can't look it up right now, but it's you can do Bricktown 5 nights.
You don't have both of your phones?
No. No. Also, the other one doesn't have internet on it anyway.
Oh.
I sound so poor.
You need to borrow some money?
Yeah. The point is, it's a mid-size, it's not an arena, but it's bigger than a theater. Yeah. Bigger than a normal theater.
Right.
It's a good size room. It's
an entertainment venue.
It's a big venue. And I had never heard of him. And every time somebody I've never heard of is at a place like that, I'm like, huh, that's weird. But we've talked about this, and I am fully convinced that the venue means a little bit more to people that don't really closely follow comedy than anything. Because I would agree, if he's at the Criterion, he has to be pretty good.
Right.
If he's selling tickets to the Criterion, like the Criterion approved, he's got a big enough name. You wouldn't put that much money up to, you know, if you rent the venue or you do a door deal or whatever, they want to take the risk, or you want to take the risk, or your manager wants to take the risk on losing money on that show. You would take a risk on a club.
Yeah.
So I think if you rent a venue, maybe not quite the Criterion, but something with that amount of prestige to it. Like rent a theater in a town that's not like their small town theater, that it's like, sometimes they play movies, sometimes there's a band there.
Yeah.
But something pretty nice. Yeah. One that you can rent for $3,500 or $4,000 or something, and then put another $4,000 into advertising, I bet you sell it out no matter who you are. I bet we could sell it out without putting a name on it.
That's a good person right there, getting over so you can go by.
I appreciate that.
It's kind of the same idea of when you do a show in a comedy club.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people, they might look at it and go, I've never heard of them, but if the comedy club's booking them,
something
must be worth going to see.
Right. I agree with that. Like,
now, I don't think you could do that and sell your tickets for $80 a piece if they don't know who you are.
No, but at the same time, if it's too cheap, I think they think,
Yeah,
I think this guy probably sucks.
I think
$10 is too little for a lot of shit.
Yeah, I think you do $15 to $20 tickets, even if they haven't heard of you, but you're at a place that doesn't book shit, like doesn't book bullshit.
Yeah.
That you still, you're selling some seats.
I talked to one of the guys at the festival about this. Not this particular thing, but I was talking to him about the idea that somebody could open a club at, I said, Chickasha. And I have a client that we've talked about it, is, or her husband has the money, the means to do it, the business knowledge. He has experience in all kinds of different categories that would make him where he could run a comedy club. And he's obsessed with comedy, but he's not trying to perform, and he doesn't necessarily want to manage people. He just wants to get into it somehow.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, I think club owner slash manager.
Yeah.
Club owner, manage a few people, see what happens, and then maybe both. You can do both. It's not a full-time gig to run one club. Like, it would be the first 2 years, but once you get it going, you really just kind of show up and delegate.
Yeah. The booking is going to be the...
Yeah, you hire a booker.
Yeah.
You have a manager, a booker, like a general manager, like any restaurant, store, yeah, whatever has. You have a booker, you have a bartender, you have a kitchen manager, who is also a cook of some sort, and then make sure that shit's working right. And then your bartender is kind of under your kitchen manager. They kind of like, they're like a assistant manager for the whole back half of the thing.
Yeah.
And then your booking side, you have a person that's dedicated solely to booking. And they might book for other clubs too, but all they do for you is just book.
Right.
And that takes all the complications out pretty quick. But the point is, like I said, you'll have to do all the jobs yourself, with the exception of, like, you're the manager. You get a cook, you get a bartender or two, you get some waiters, waitresses. And then I talked about the idea of staggering. You have somebody like Rodney Carrington that could easily sell it out. And you go, hey, we're just going to give you 100%. I know it's kind of small for you. It only seats 250. But we'll do whatever ticket price you think is okay. It's going to sell out. It's Rodney Carrington in a medium-sized town in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You open for Rodney Carrington. You're the headliner 3 weeks later. And then you have random shows, kind of, do you know, what's it called? Something Society or Secret, the Secret Room, maybe? In Houston, it belongs to Andrew Youngblood.
I do not.
Well, he does a bunch of shows. He does all these different showcases where people come to the club for the shows. They don't show up because they know who's on the vent or on the lineup. They show up because the show is going to be good.
Right.
Like, they show up for open mic night, they show up for the darkest joke you could come up with night. Like, they just have a bunch of different stuff that appeals to different types of people. And they get crowds not based on the name on the marquee, but based on their name.
Right.
And I think you could build something like that. And he said it'd be really tough. He said it'd be harder in a medium-sized town because there's not enough people. And I was like, people will travel once they hear about it. And you're only trying to sell 250 out of 20,000 people. You can get 250 seats filled in a 20,000 town, 30,000 town. I'm not saying do it in a 1,000 population city,
right,
town, but I agree. It seems like it would be harder to sell tickets when you're not selling a big name, but I'm saying it seems like it. I think if you make the venue right, I think people just start coming. Like, most people that go to Bricktown, for the ones I've talked to, don't know who they're going to see anyway. They go, oh, I've heard of Brian Callen, let's go.
Right.
They're not like
I agree with you on the idea of, if you have a venue and you're putting on quality shows, people will come to it. Like, over in Ardmore, there's an entertainment venue over there, and I just drew a blank on what the name of it is. But that's all it is. It's like our Coliseum,
mm-hmm,
but probably not quite, three quarters of our, right, Coliseum. Stadium seating down the sides, stadium seating across one side, across one end, and then a big stage.
Okay.
And then the rest of it's just floor. And Ardmore, I don't know what population of Ardmore is, but it's
not huge.
I don't think it's even lot.
No, I don't think it's 100,000. If I had to guess.
We went and watched Coe Wetzel there.
Okay.
That's a big name. People, yeah, are going to drive. We drove all the way to Ardmore, which is a 2.5 hour drive, just to see that show, and the place was shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah, and that's the idea. That's Coe Wetzel brought that, not, yeah, the venue, but you do that for a year,
right,
and you're okay with breaking even, losing money for a year, and the name gets out, and now you go, I heard of a guy at that venue. He's got to be the next Coe Wetzel.
Yeah.
Like, or at least kind of.
Right. It's a, but kind of along the same thing. So the venue, if the venue's always putting on quality shows and bringing in quality names, eventually it gets to the point where it doesn't matter who it is they're booking, because we just trust that that venue only books good shows.
By the way, I'm going to send this episode, I'm going to send a link to the guy we're talking about right now, because I texted him today and invited him to my 6ix9ine show.
Yeah.
And he was like, hell yeah, I'll try to be there. We got any shows coming up between now and then? Because he just hasn't been paying attention to Instagram.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, we do. And I think he's going to come to the Maverick one, which that'll be a fun show.
Yeah.
But I wish this was going up before that. So it'd be like, Maverick, the 28th. Maverick seems like he should always do this.
We're behind on episodes.
We're way behind.
So you could 100% post it.
Actually, you're right. I'll put this up. I'll probably get this in the editing software tonight so I can get it put together tomorrow morning and then probably upload it by Monday.
There you go.
I might not be able to finish it tonight, but
yeah,
or tomorrow. Because tomorrow, until I have to go to the shop, I'm trying to not be a worker.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, we have neighbors across the street that are, it's like 4 or 5 Mexican dudes. I think it's 5 Mexican dudes that live in a 3-bedroom across the house or across the street. It's basically a house like mine, slightly smaller, with 4 or 5 adult males in it. They share a vehicle. They pull up in this work van with ladders attached to it. Shit.
Yep.
You know they work for a living. Asher just calls them the workers. And I think it's hilarious. And then also, like, you know how Mexicans are notorious for getting shit done really fast?
Yeah.
They do. But they're also at home by like 5 p.m. Like, they're just having fun. They have a table in their front yard now, and they just, like, play poker in the front yard shit. They're cool as fuck.
Yeah. There ain't no point in wasting money on cable.
No.
When we can just sit here and play cards. Plus, I feel like a lot of those guys, the majority of the money that they make, they're sending it back home.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure these guys are sending
it. I mean, they're keeping enough for jalapenos, tortillas, hamburger meat, and beer.
Lots of beer.
Yeah.
And good speakers. they're blaring fucking music that's like...
Got some mariachi going on 24-7.
You know the shit that you hear when you go to a construction site and it's like, yeah. I don't know what's going on, but it's good music.
Yeah.
They're cranking that shit up until the neighbors complain, and we never complain because I go, man, it's just so fun to have neighbors that are having a good time.
Like, yeah.
It's not loud enough that it keeps me awake. It's just loud enough that, like, if you turn the TV off in our living room and you sit there, you go, oh, neighbors are out.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have shit going on in the house, you're getting near it. Now, I will say I got new windows about 2 years ago. That makes a difference. Some of my neighbors got old windows. That shit.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't like it? Get new windows.
Get new windows. It's only $17,000.
Bitch.
Now, windows, when we got them.
Quit complaining about your Hispanic neighbors.
We took cash to the window dude, and we were like, all right, so how soon can we get these? And he goes, it'll be about 3 months. And I was like, for windows? He was like, yeah, something about COVID. This is like mid-21, like maybe late 21. Still having like certain things weren't shipping at the same rate.
We had
all the windows but one. And the one was another 3 months behind.
Really?
Yeah. I think it ended up being like 2 months. But it was like a several month process to get new windows. And we just do little shit. Like we have a new air conditioner, new windows. Eventually... we'll probably redo the siding, but I think I want to do metal siding on the second because we have brick on the bottom and siding on the top half.
Yeah.
I think I want to do metal siding going this way.
Here's the Goober house.
Goober house.
Goober house.
I don't know why. We always talk about houses when we drive, by the way.
It's fresh peanuts right there.
Is that what it is?
That's what goobers are. Goobers are peanuts.
I thought goobers were people on the Andy Griffith show before Gomer.
Yeah.
Gomer replaced Goomer? Goober?
Yes.
There was Goober, and then there's Gomer Pyle.
Gomer
and
Pyle.
And then they did a spinoff, Gomer Pyle USMC or something like that.
What yeah.
Was that what it was?
I think so.
It was like a Marine.
Yep.
It's crazy. Like, the Marines already have a reputation for not being geniuses.
Mm-hmm.
I think they had one before that, but I don't think Gomer.
And I'm trying to think of
Gomer Pyle.
I don't want to say his real name was Jim Nabors.
I think it is.
And he was supposed to, like, a hell of a singer.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard he was a really good singer. And that was the thing, like, back then, almost everybody that was on TV had multiple talents. Like, mm-hmm. You have, like, Rat Pack type guys
yeah.
that do everything. They're comedians, musicians, actors, whatever. Andy Griffith was a really good musician. I don't know about singing.
Do you know Sammy Davis Jr. converted to Judaism?
I knew he was Jewish. I didn't know if he converted or his parents made him do it when he was born.
Yeah, no, I think he converted.
That's weird.
Like, how many black people were born Jewish?
I mean, maybe his parents were...
Can't be very many, right?
Maybe he's half black and his dad's real dark. I don't know. I don't know. I never thought about it. But did you know Sammy Davis Jr., his part of one of the many reasons why they sped up the black people get to perform and sleep on the same side of town thing in Vegas.
Really?
Yeah. Frank Sinatra and Joey Bishop and Dean Martin apparently all would refuse to stay in the hotel at the venues. Like, I don't know what was around. Let's say they're playing the Flamingo.
Mm-hmm.
They would play the Flamingo as the Rat Pack. And then they'd go, okay, so we have a rule on this side of the tracks, literally like divided by railroad tracks. Black people can't stay here. They can come entertain and work, but they can't be a patron of any of these businesses. They can't drink, whatever. And they're like, all right, well, we'll stop performing here. And they were like, well, I mean, we could make one exception. And they did that with several casinos and got to where basically they would allow black performers to stay in the hotels and drink at the bar and stuff, which is a step.
Yeah.
And now, I can't even tell the difference sometimes. I see black people and white people and brown people, and they all just be... What I do know is if I see a big old white girl, there's going to be a black dude around here looking at her somewhere. You know, he's going to be checking her out.
So it's kind of the same thing that Ray Charles did with the state of Georgia.
Okay, I'm ready.
Ray Charles was brought in to perform. Of course, he's blind. He didn't know. So they're bringing
I'm
him
sure
up.
Sure, he knows he's black though.
I mean, he knows he's black, but they're bringing him up. Him. They're bringing him up the entertainer's ramp in the back or whatever. And there's people out there protesting because no black people are allowed to come in to watch the show. Like the building was no blacks allowed.
Oh,
so somebody out there was protesting, said it's pretty messed up. Like that you'll come in and perform for the white people when your own people can't even come and see perform. And he's like, what are you talking about? So then they told him what was going on. He goes, y'all won't let and people that. The police and the people that own the place are like, no, like, there's no colors allowed. And he's like, but I'm colored. And they were like, yeah, but you're Ray Charles. And he goes, I won't perform. So he turned around, walked back to his car, refused to play there.
Nice.
Ray Charles was barred from the state of Georgia.
Wait, who sings Georgia on my mind?
Ray Charles.
When did it come out before? Training Wheels on a Motorcycle? Oh, no, it was a trailer. Dang.
But yeah, he was barred from the state of Georgia, and then they lifted that and adopted Georgia On My Mind as their state song.
Wow. Yep. So he made that song first.
I think so.
So Georgia would have, well, we'll look that up later, but Georgia would have been a great place for him to perform.
Yeah.
And yet they barred him
from the performing. State.
They're like, hey, you got to stay out the whole state.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
But and then know. They, you know, so of course they lifted that when they started allowing black people to come into all the different venues.
This is going to be a great episode. Two white guys talking about
black rights.
But,
we stand in solidarity. Is that, would that be the
I
right?
I believe that's okay. The right term. I have a client, a black lady, that was telling me, and I didn't know this, but apparently they're trying to take black history out of schools and people on all sides of the fucking spectrum are mad about for different reasons. Like some people are saying, well, the kids need to know that because it is part of history. Yeah. I agree. It's part of history.
Those who don't study history are doomed to repeat it.
That's the exact thing. I didn't say those exact words, but I was like, the reason we need history is so that we know what not to do in the future.
Right.
And my client was like, yeah, but when I was a kid, I went to school and they told me white people used to do this to black people. And then I went home and talked to my parents. My parents would explain to me, yeah, black people and white people used to not get along, and here's why. And this was bad, and this happened. So your ancestors were basically super mistreated. And then she translates that the same way my neighbors actually did when I was a kid to, oh, white people are the enemy. And then white people, I never thought about this side, start looking at things like Hitler and going, that's a lot of power. And I never thought of it that way. So now I'm kind of conflicted because she was like, you never, when you were a kid, had somebody that was acting like you were a white supremacist just because you were white? And I was like, actually, I did. I had two neighbors. Their names were Bernard and Junior. And I just remember their dad had a Cadillac and he washed it every Sunday until it got repossessed, which was hilarious. He took so much great care of this car. And then when it got repossessed, it was the cleanest car I've ever seen get repossessed. But I was just like, we were riding bicycles and just, you know, what kids do. And one of them was like, hey, you know, your family used to own my family. And I was like, I'm sure that's not the case. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
I feel like I would have heard about this before now.
I'm pretty sure. I don't even know your last name, but I'm pretty sure if we had some, they would have told me. But like from then on out, Bernard and Junior didn't like to hang out with white kids. Now I'm sure that went away 3 years later, but it was like, I'm reflecting back on that after she said that, going, oh, I had two friends. Then I didn't. Because they thought that we couldn't get along because they learned something in school today when they were little.
Right.
So what I would say is maybe don't teach Black history to seven-year-olds. Maybe teach Black history in high school. Let people's parents teach them whatever they need to know and ease into it and still include things like Hitler and include things like Martin Luther King, but don't have detailed slavery, this is why, like just, you know, lightly touch on it a little and ease them into it might make sense.
Yeah.
And that seems like a compromise almost everybody can be okay with, I think.
You would think.
Also, I've never been to school, so I don't fucking know what Black history is. I just know I like Malcolm X. Black people don't. Like, most Black people I know are like, Malcolm X was a fucking tyrant. I'm like, got a lot of shit done. Like, sometimes you gotta crack some heads.
I think the way that you teach something is just as important as what you're teaching.
Yeah.
So, if you're teaching it from an angry Black person's point of view, and you're teaching slavery, then yeah. Yes, there's going to be, like, you're not saying, hey, here's something that happened in the past, we've learned, we've grown, these are the steps we took to get to where we're at now, we can need to continue to grow in that position.
Yeah.
But instead, you're teaching is like, yeah, and the man, and they did this, and they treated us like that, then that's the feeling that those people are going to, yeah. The kids are going to hold on to. But if you teach it from a Black person's point of view of, yes, this was terrible, the things that people went through, but look how far we've come.
Right.
These are the, like,
I think everything should be taught in that light of, like, hey, this is the good out of it, and this is why it needed to change. This was bad.
Yeah.
This is why we're getting better, and this is how we could keep getting better.
For sure.
Like, you go, as a white person, you're at school, and you go, oh, man, my great-great-grandpa probably was a piece of shit. Or maybe three or four greats. I don't know how far back you got to go. But let's go four greats back. Grandpa was a piece of shit. How can I be better? Obviously, we're already doing better. Like, you're in the same school as Black people going, well, they're getting picked first at basketball for sure. But, I mean, there's stuff like that where you go, okay, we're still not all looking at everything the right way. But when people are like, man, the world's gone to shit, I'm like, no, it hasn't. It's fucking progressed every day since I was born.
Yeah.
Like, when I was a kid, racism was really out in the open and it was seen and heard everywhere. And now, like, you occasionally hear somebody with some subtle shit that's probably just as bad, but it's not quite as, like, aggressive.
Yeah.
So that means that's going away. And I'm not saying, hey, have patience. Like, they've had enough patience. But, like,
I do think that there are some scenarios where people are trying to overcorrect.
Yeah. Woke shit.
But that's, I mean, and I feel like if you overcorrect, then you come to where now, instead of having absolute equality, what we've done is we've just changed one oppressed people for another oppressed right. people,
yeah.
Which is obviously not the direction that yeah. that anybody should want to go either.
You say the same about women's rights. A lot of women I know now are, like, kind of fed up with the expectations put on them because they're like, okay, I kind of, like, I had a career. I made a bunch of money. I kind of just want to stay home and raise my kids. And cook, and my husband makes fucking $300,000 a year, and we live in Oklahoma. Who gives a shit? But
yeah.
People will judge you now if you want to do the thing because you want to do it, because it looks like it's anti-feminism.
Right.
But it's not. It's like, that's the way you want to raise your family. Go for it.
Yeah.
And also, if you want to work your ass off and your husband stays home, as long as your husband's fucking doing shit and not playing video games, because I will be a little sexist on that. When I know a stay-at-home husband that doesn't have kids, that doesn't have any ambition, that doesn't do anything at all, I go, that's a bum.
Yeah.
But if it's a girl, I go, that's a bum that gives good blowjobs. There's a difference. Am I wrong? Anyway, we hit 30. We're at 34. We can,
yeah.
You want to do right, another
so
one?
All right, so we'll end this one, and we'll see you on the next
yeah,
episode.
We'll be wearing the same clothes, because we're going to start recording in about 3 minutes.
There you go.
This is Matt and Andrew Make a Podcast. Peace in the Middle East. Sorry if I sounded racist. Look at my haircut.
Stand proud.